Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Thank you.
in your glory, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In your power, Lord.
When the rain starts falling, it's
And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. This is WSCIRO, Sea Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston, and I am Dr. Shirley Caniff, the station general manager, along with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. And you're just tuned in to Faith Talk Live Prayer on Blog Talk Radio. And that's the internet radio outreach here on the internet that actually allows stations like WSCIRO and many other stations all over the world to air the latest and whatever. But we are trying to have a strong Christian presence on Blog Talk Radio, and so far many people have actually picked up the show, so we wanted to continue to pray and thank you for many of those people that the Lord's touching right now, especially our friends on Facebook and YouTube and Vimeo and Blog TV and any other social media network that is connected, even Twitter too. We tweet this through our Twitter tweets, which allows us to get our message in short sound bites out there, a link to what we're doing, and then people come on in. And we've had some success. We haven't really done a whole lot of advertising, but many people know because of who they know. They let people know what we're doing. So it's awesome. And it's Sunday, March 20th, the Lord's Day at 6:12 a.m. And what you heard at the top of the hour, Lendell Cooley from the Brownsville Revival was singing a really, really moving, passionate calling song, the call to mercy, Lord have mercy. And then Misty Edwards from the IHOP Kansas City people, their 24/7 center, and worship leader, Misty Edwards was singing Time. So it's so appropriate because right now we're in time in the season of Lent, and there's also a lot of shaking going on in the world. And while I was playing those two songs, I was looking frantically for the prophetic words that the Lord had given me and my husband in the year 2004 regarding the shaking of the nations. But I think that's going to be reserved for another show. But what we want to concentrate on is, what do we want to concentrate on? We want to concentrate on, let's see, the return of the prodigal, because we are in the season of Lent, and the Catholic Church, many of you who have TVs, we're choosing to fast away from our TVs for the rest of our lives so we can really hear what the Lord is saying, but we will still get our news. But anyway, for those who have TVs, for those who have radios, and those, I believe, who have a YouTube account, you've been seeing some things unfold. The Catholic Church is finally coming out of a dark time, where the Lord had to deal with, the priests and the sexual abuse, and of course, other people, it just brought up other stuff for other people to deal with. And so they've had several long years, probably about the last seven, of just, of repentance and walking things out and purifying things. And as a group, that part of the community that people have been known to, it has been known, described as fullness of faith, okay? And so what we have is now a Catholic, the Catholics come home, who, I actually know of the person that had established that, and he put the whole program together. It was comparable to a program that happened in the 80s called Alienated Catholics, but I believe that was the forerunner of Catholics Come Home. The world was less dark at that point, and maybe the darkness was hidden, and now the darkness has come out. And so you have people who are searching for the Lord, who have gotten into other areas like New Age and witchcraft and unfortunately some forms of Satanism and other ungodly areas of spirituality that have the propensity of casting a person into hell or a hellish way of life, a hellish way of existence while they're here upon the earth. Never mind it when they when their life is snuffed out and they're in a place where they really didn't understand while they were living on this side of darkness, you know, they end up in a place that they really didn't want to be. So that's why we are going to be talking about the return of the prodigal. In a few minutes, I am going to go to my friend Breach. You've heard of the other broadcast and some from the responses that we were getting. My friend Breach from Ireland, now from New Jersey. She has so much wonderful things to say, and a lot of people really liked what she had to say. So she's coming on again, and because the Lord has laid a couple of scriptures in her heart, and also given her a couple of visions and experiences in the Holy Ghost that is really appropriate for the show. So we're going to talk about the return of the prodigal as it relates to the prodigal coming into a time of revival. The prodigal can be a group of people, a community of people. It could be an individual, okay? It's actually, when we say prodigal, we're talking more about the state, the spiritual state of the human being or the human institution or, you know, or the human family. And it takes different forms, or a nation, okay? And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to explore Amos 3:7, Haggai, this is all from the Old Testament, Haggai 1 and 2, Joel 2, verses 12 to 20, and also from the New Testament, which we'll discuss the parable of the lost son, the New Testament, Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Okay, and primarily, before we go into that, you know, we're going to we're going to call upon the Holy Spirit first, and then we're going to look at it in greater detail. In lieu of, we'll start with Luke 15, looking more deeply at the parable of the lost son at the top of the hour, and we'll look at prodigal and what it really means in the issue between the prodigal and the older brother, as you'll understand when we read the scriptures, and the goal, which is sonship, okay? And sonship has a lot to do with receiving the Father's love, and I think you all are going to appreciate that. And then, you know, we'll towards the end of the broadcast, we will do an altar call, and I will offer up communion. I am a Eucharistic minister of the Catholic Church, as well as a pastoral associate of C Christian Teaching and Worship Center here online and in the town of Stoughton. So anyways, I just wanted to thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct by the power of the Holy Spirit. O God, I'm at loss for words because you're so great. Oh Lord. We want to lift up Japan in this. Japan. Oh Lord. I plead Lord Jesus, over Japan right now. Holy Spirit, would you visit that nation? Would you visit the people individually and corporately? Would you cause the unity of your Holy Spirit to flow upon them right now? and recreate the nation and recreate the hearts of your people. And still within the fire of your divine love, and send forth your spirit, and they shall be recreated, created, and you shall renew the face of the earth, the face of Japan. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Whoa. Shika Baba Shanda. Okay, I am going to go to Breach right now. And Breach, hold on for 1 second. Hi, Breach.
Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the first day of spring. The first day of spring. Yes, it is, Dr. Shirley. it's a new day. It's a new day. And as you were praying there for our brothers and sisters in Japan, face to face. Face to face. The Lord wants to meet us face to face. He is removing the veil that covers. He is removing the stumbling blocks. He is removing all that that keeps us from him and his will in our lives. Mm-hmm. His love and his mercy is renewed every morning. I like to think his love and mercy is renewed moment by moment as we come to him and call out upon him. Blessed be God and his angels and his saints. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
And top of the morning.
And the rest of the day to yourselves.
Amen, amen. Okay, well, Preach, we're going to talk about the prodigal, right? Agree?
Agree.
And that's actually the story of the salvation history of mankind. Everyone from Adam and Eve to the last child that would be born before Jesus returns, everyone, because of original sin, is called to be a prodigal because of the original sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. But the good news is that we are, we're on this journey, as I have that song at the beginning of Faith Talks Live Prayer. We're on this journey of life with Jesus, with Yeshua HaMashiach, through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? And some choose not to be part of the church the way we are, and they, you know, choose to be in a ministry or somewhere where they can, once they receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then receive the Holy Spirit, they embark on a journey towards sonship. We all, that has been planted in our DNA since before the foundation of the earth, because in Genesis it does say that because of the sin of disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden, that one day, the heel of the woman would bruise the serpent. And the heel of the woman is Jesus, right? Jesus Christ. And when we receive Jesus, we partake of that, his divine nature. We become more like him. If we choose to be, we all have free will. And we move from prodigal to sonship. But then there's that struggle of the older brother, and we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the qualities, and we're going to look at what makes up the older brother situations. Like I said earlier, it doesn't matter. It's not, sometimes it's of individual, but it's the spirit. spiritual state of an institution or, you know, or a family group or a community group or anywhere where there are two or three gathered in Jesus' name. And but the goal is always to come towards sonship. So let's read the parable. Do you want to read? Do you have your Bible?
I would love to hear Dr. Jeffrey read.
Oh, well, Dr. Jeffrey, still, he is indisposed at this time.
Okay, well then, Dr. Shirley.
We got back at 12 midnight last night. Okay, me?
Okay. Dr. Shirley, please.
Okay, thank you. All right, let me get my bearings here. Thank you, Lou. All right, everyone, open up your Bibles to Luke 15, verses 11 until, let's see, 31. There was a man who had two sons. This is Jesus. This is the voice of Jesus. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything he had, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Maybe like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What was going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became very, very, very angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lord. Wow, there's a lot of things going on in that story.
There sure is.
Before we go on, what has the Lord shown you about the scripture passage?
The Lord has shown me, as you said, there's a few points that I want to start off, Dr. Shirley, by saying he was far off.
Mm-hmm.
He was far off. So what that tells me is the father was out looking for him, and he's seen him from far off. I wonder how many times was the father looking for him out, looking for him every day, or once a week, or once a month, or how often did the father go out to look to see, was it time for his son to come back to him? And the other point I would like to look at, Dr. Shirley, is the father did not stop him. The father did not stop him from leaving his house, leaving him. And I'm reminded of myself leaving my home in Ireland and leaving my God many times. We all have a story. Dr. Shirley, each and every one of us has a story and of leaving. And hopefully coming back. And sometimes we prevent people from leaving us. And sometimes it's the Lord's call. The Lord uses everything to bring us to the place he wants us to be. I'm reminded of Jesus saying to his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem. And there he was going to be handed over and die. And, you know, and Peter says, no, Lord. No. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. In Isaiah 45, verse 3, we're reminded, it says, in the darkness, I shall reveal to you the hidden treasures. And I believe, Dr. Shirley, that that's where we are today. We're coming out of this today. The darkness, the church, like it might be one person, it could be a group, as you have said. But I tend to think that it is the church, and we're all the church.
Yes.
We're all the church, because Jesus is the head and we're the body. You see? I'm not talking about the church, a building. I'm talking about the body as a church.
Yes.
And we're called to go forth, and that we has been revealed to us in the darkness. You know, we have to go into the darkness to be stripped as Jesus was stripped.
Yes.
As Jesus was stripped. You know, Jesus left his Father, not through disobedience, but
right.
through obedience. And he came here, and he died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. So to me, this story is Jesus. It's
yeah.
Jesus. And we as the church, be disobedient. Jesus was never disobedient. And we left our Father. We left our Father's house and did our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we hung out with the pigs. We hung out with the swine. And indeed, we cast our pearls in front of the swine sometimes, Dr. Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
But praise be our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to our senses.
Yes.
And we realize who we belong to. The word of God there, the scripture, about citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize, hold on a minute, I've been lied to. Let me go back to my Father.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back to his Father, here his Father was out and seen him far off and ran to him.
Mm-hmm.
And clothed him. You see, clothed him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. And then we have the kiss of the other brother coming through a big party, Dr. Shirley, through a big party, big celebration. Big celebration. And the brother, who was a good boy, so to speak, who was with the Father all the time, became very angry. Why did he become very angry? Because he picked up the offense. He picked up the offense. Because he didn't know who he was. He didn't know what he was all about and who he belonged to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded in the scripture in John where John the Baptist was in prison. And he sent word to Jesus to find out if he was the Messiah. Or should he look for another? And Jesus sent back word, yes, he was. Now, if it was me, I would be thinking, well, here he is. He's Jesus. He's the Messiah, the Son of God. Why doesn't he come and save me? Why doesn't he save me?
Yes.
But John the Baptist didn't look at that way. He didn't pick up the offense of Jesus because he knew who he was in the Father, his Father, you see? He knew who he was. And I believe, Dr. Shirley, that today in the church, there's a remnant, there's a people that is coming back.
Yes.
And we have to get ready for them because they're coming with treasures.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming with treasures. out of the darkness. And the church has to open up their hearts to receive the prodigals. Because I tell you, they're coming with treasures.
Not made by human hands.
Not made by human hands, Dr. Shirley, and not of this earth.
And, you know, it's not the treasures that are, like you said, not in this earth, but the oxymoron, and I use that term in this way, we are from the dust, we are from the earth. But it's not. We are formed in His image. We are dust from the earth, formed in His image with the stamp of His image within our spirit, within our DNA, within our body, mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion. And so, those treasures that we come with are deep within us. And the Holy Spirit, when He puts His light upon us, shows us what it is. And this is when the light goes on. Yeah, light goes on because we begin to understand who we are. You know? I think the older brother's problem was, like you said, he didn't know who he was. Only partially, because of, he knew in some way who his father was, but he didn't know the ways of his father. He didn't know the ways of God. You know, it says in Exodus 33:3, I think it is. Just want to just go back to Exodus because of something that Moses. Let me just speak right into the mic. Something that Moses had asked the Father when he realized that it was God that he was talking to, and what mattered to him most of all. And I just wanted to flip to Exodus here, somewhere between Leviticus and... okay, here it is. I'm in the 30s now. 32, now I'm at 33. And let me just see what he says here to the Lord. Okay. Yes, okay. All right. It's not 33, it's 33. It's at a 33:18. Okay. Moses said to the Lord, and I'm going to go back up to 12. We're going to read from 33, from verse 12 to, let's see, 23. So you can get the whole picture. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, Lord, these people, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." When Moses said, "Now show me your glory," then Moses said, "Now show me your glory," not when, then. And the Lord said, I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord said, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. You know, we're talking Old Testament. The rock is now Jesus. There's a place near me where you stand on a rock, and the rock is Jesus. It just came to me. Whoa.
Whoa.
Right. Yeah, right. You got it?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
My glory.
Ghost.
Jesus,
Holy
hallelujah. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock, and we are in the cleft of the rock of Jesus, and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back and my face. But my face, I'm sorry, you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. So we can see his back, we can see everything about Jesus, about Father, you know, as he sees us from a distance, all right? But then he sees us much, you know, and we see him more clearer through Jesus, but we're embedded in the cleft of Jesus, his Son, as he is in us, with us, and working through us. And see, the older brother had temporary amnesia. He was partaking of all the riches and glory of the kingdom of his Father, but he forgot. He forgot who he was. He forgot who he looked, you know, what he looked like. He forgot all these things because he was becoming more selfish in this, and maybe saying, well, I deserve all this because I didn't act up, and, you know, I didn't sin as much as my younger brother did. And then he's, you know, justifying why he should receive more than his younger brother. He was justifying it in his own finite thinking and without understanding his Father's ways. And that's where a lot of believers, a lot of our brothers and sisters who are from different families in the body of Christ, that's their dilemma. You know, that's also a dilemma also of the hierarchy in the church. This is a wonderful thing called Catholics Come Home, you know, a program that is opening the doors for people to come back to the church through the sacraments. But the people that are directing these programs have to understand they're not coming back because of the program, because all of a sudden the church says, we are having a program called Catholics Come Home, and we're opening the doors to you. Now, there's something within the DNA of the prodigal, what we talked about from the Garden of Eden, because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. There's a homing, like we've become homing pigeons for the Lord. There's something in us that is time sensitive, and when enough is enough, the alarm or the bell rings to come home within us. And this program hopefully will be set up, and I even hate to call it a program, this call, and hopefully is set up, and hopefully the leaders will understand that about people destined to come, you know, into, you know, from lucid living, from wherever they were in the world, back home, not to a building, not to a program, but to a relationship with the Lord, okay, and a place for them to grow. And the Lord doesn't have to just do it through the church. He can do it through Christian communities, which we'll talk about at the bottom of the hour. He can do that through, ministries that love the Lord and understand this call to come into their personal relationship with Jesus, and offer opportunities, offer tools for them to sharpen their spirit so they can hear from God more. And we went to a Demetra Westbridge Church, and one of the leaders from the IHOP, International House of Prayer, came to activate the ministry and people that are called to host or become vessels, become tabernacles of David, and become part of the furnace of prayer, you know, the bonfire of prayer 24/7. But one of the things he was saying is that many people, they get caught up in when they're receiving something from the Lord. This is many believers. Once they've come out of the darkness and come into the light and receive Jesus, all of a sudden they get amnesia and they think that they're not hearing from God. He made this point, and you're going to laugh at this. Well, let me just put it this way. When you're in darkness and in sin, and you heard this voice that was not your own and wasn't the voice of the world, who do you think that was? That was God. It was God talking to you in your darkness, in your the deep parts of your sin. So if he could talk to you then, what makes you think he's not talking to you now?
Mm-hmm.
You know? See, we get it all backwards. We get so used to you know, the new place that God has us, and then it becomes almost like a desert within itself. I really believe that this older brother was experiencing a kind of spiritual desert because he had not come to that place of sonship. And if he had, he had, you know, had kind of backslid in that area of identity. And, you know, because he wasn't rooted, firmly rooted, in understanding the ways of God working through the political systems, working through families, working through the church, working through ministries of healing and inner healing, or, you know, working through whoever the Lord wants to use and whoever's ever open to the Holy Spirit working in their life, you know. And I know there are people that like to measure the Holy Spirit, but I don't think I think he's very, you know, he's immeasurable. You cannot measure the Holy Spirit. And anybody that does, I think that they're like walking at the wrong tree. They're measuring based from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with man's tools. They're measuring the percentage, you know, this going into the left side of the brain where everything's analytical, and they're saying, well, you're only using 10% of the Holy Spirit. 10%. And the 10% you're using pretty well. Well, I'm sorry, that is so appalling, I believe, to the heart of God, to the mind of God, to God himself. Because, you know, we all start from various, you know, degrees of sanctification or places of darkness, you know, and the greater our crosses, you know, the greater the victory, and the rules and dictates of the kingdom are so much different than here upon the earth, you know. The Father has a different kind of measuring stick, and that's called love.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's called love, and it's called mercy, you see. And, you know, when we were examining the scripture, we're going to go back to that about the prodigal son. I saw several things in there, but I saw two basic things. The exit. There was an exit strategy by the Lord, but it looked like the enemy, and it was an entrance plan back to the heart of the Father.
Hallelujah.
It was the entrance. And, you know, even when our kids act up, you know, I've raised my kids, and, you know, I'm still praying for them. You never stop praying for your kids. You know, you just never stop, you know? Right? I mean, they I raised them up in the Lord through my own foolishness and, you know, the Yiddish Hebrew word is, I mean, she got through my own stuff, through my own foolishness. But, you know, the Lord, you know, I just was so open with the Lord working everything out and being like a teaching, used as a teaching tool for my kids of what to do and what not to do, and this is what you do when you, you know, bring God into the equation, or, you know, our knowledge that he's there because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And so what happens is that they see They see the foolishness, but they see the repentance. They see, you know, the Lord coming in there and working things out. But something happens with you know, as their faith gets increased. They start getting, I believe, sensory overload in the spirit. And they're like, oh, I had enough. I had enough of this fine food. I want to find my own way. I believe that that's the activation of the home mechanism that the Lord plants in us. Now they got to find their own way. It's almost like, oh, didn't I just show you the way? Jesus is the way. But yes, they have Jesus, you know, and they start with having Jesus in their own way. You know, and our duty as parents that are believers and part of a community, we'll talk about that later, is we need to fuel the fire of faith, of their faith, like as the Lord cultivates their faith in them in a greater way. We can't lose heart as parents. We have to continually fuel their vehicle with prayer from a distance. And the distance, when the Father saw the Son from a distance, he saw the Son from a distance without actually being in close proximity. Because, you know, he saw the end result. He saw what was going to happen. Because Father is Father, God is, He created us. He created us to be like Him through Jesus. And, you know, and He recreates new hearts. He had a new heart, you know, specifically for the younger brother. As he comes closer to Him, he had this heart ready. You know, he knew that his old heart was failing him, you know, in the world, and that it was not going to be. And heart means spirit here, everybody, and that he was not going to. He was, you know, losing less and less power to control his life. You know, and as he got to the end of himself, you know, he needed that new heart, but he needed something from his dad, and it was time for him to come home. And I really believe that's where, you know, we don't necessarily, you know, with our kids that are prodigals, or anybody knows a prodigal pastor or a prodigal, anybody can be a prodigal. It's that part of you that has been surrendered and submitted to the will of the Father that still has to be refined, still has to, you know, sometimes things have to be reburnt out of someone in order, you know, or delivered in order for the person to receive their regeneration or recreation or a new heart. You know, there's so many different descriptions for this transformation, you know, and what how it initiates the process of, you know, coming into that place of sonship. So before we go into the characteristics of the older brother and the prodigal and where the Lord wants his people, Breach, is there anything that the Lord has been showing you as the Lord's been, you know, revealing himself to us and to our listening audience?
Yes, Dr. Shirley. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's all grace. It's all grace, not works. And I think that the older brother, or the other, we'll call him the other brother, he didn't know who he was and this and that. But we have to realize, you were saying it was Jesus, the rock, that we stand in. When God, our Father, looks at us, He looks at us through the eyes of Jesus, His Son.
It's 7 o'clock a.m.
Okay.
And we have to know that we have been called, we have been chosen. Mm-hmm. And in John 15:16, he says, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me.
Mm-hmm.
And one day in study, I was like, what does that mean? I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. What it means simply is that God has chosen us. We haven't chosen him.
Right.
So he knew the beginning and the end. Do you know what I mean? He knows the beginning and the end. He's the author and finisher of our faith, you see?
Yes, he is.
And those things that we do in our life, you know, turning away from God and disobedience and all that, that's no big surprise to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And while you were speaking, Dr. Shirley, what came to me was Psalm 139. And if you would quickly just go there, and basically what it is we cannot, no matter where we go, we cannot run away from God.
Yeah.
We can't. Even it says in Psalm 139, Dr. Shirley, that even like in darkness, like no matter where we go, the pit of hell, his hand is on us.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Jesus.
Yes.
In John 17, I love John 17, Dr. Shirley. In John 17, he says, Father, not one has been lost. You know, that you've given me, except Judas, who betrayed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to realize and just, as you say, come to the end of ourselves and just give it all up. Just give it all up into the hands of our Father. And whether we are the prodigal son or daughter, or whether we are the other son, we just have to come to Jesus and the loving arms of the Father and know that it's all grace. It's not by our works. It's not by our works what we do. I'm reminded, I think I shared with you the last time about the little boy with the loaves and the fishes, and he gave what he had to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied it and fed the multitudes. You know, he gave it what he had, which God already gave to him. But when we give what we have, whether it's a lot, no matter what it is, or sin,
yes,
or darkness, or loneliness, or depression, whatever it is, when we give that to God, he can do miracles with that.
Yes,
he can do miracles with that. And I just am reminded to take the pole out of my eye before I try to remove the speck out of my brother's. And we're all praying in these days, we're all praying, oh God, send revival. Oh God, send, you know, the earth's crying out to the Father.
Oh, yes.
And God is answering. Not only does God hear us, but he's answering us. He is answering our prayer, our cry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's given us gifts. He's given us blessings. He's given us treasures. And sometimes, Dr. Shirley, we throw them back in his face and say, this isn't God. This isn't, because it isn't how we thought it was going to, should be packaged.
Yeah.
And that's, I just feel the Holy Spirit right now, Dr. Shirley. Shambhara papara kiti morora. And what I'm seeing in the spirit is eyes, E-Y-E-S, eyes, all different colors of eyes, brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes. And I believe what the Lord is saying to us is he's going to give us His eyes, the Good Shepherd's eyes, the Good Shepherd's eyes. And he's going to pick us up and put us in his shoulder and help us to see as he sees. Because believe it or not, the way, until we are in Jesus, with Jesus, and working through Jesus, that we don't see things the way they really are. But there's a place in God, just as God the Father looks at us through Jesus' eyes, we have to look through Jesus' eyes to see God the Father. Look through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Philip said, show us the Father to Jesus. One day he says, show us the Father. And Jesus says, when you see me, you see the Father.
Yes.
So I believe the Lord has given us new eyes this moment to go and look and see the prodigals coming from far off.
Yes.
Far off.
Mm-hmm.
And look for them and wait for them and receive them with the love of God our Heavenly Father. And then, with Jesus, in Jesus, and through Jesus, together in God. Like I'm remembered when we were in Ireland, when I was growing up, we had this game, and it was called TIG, T-I-G. And you would have a tigger. You would have a group
of...
Like
that's like our version of tag here in the United States.
Right.
So when she says TIG, and we say tag,
yeah, tig tag. You say tag, I say tig. And what it is, Dr. Shirley, there was a wee group of children, as you know, but let's talk to someone who doesn't know what tig or tag is.
Okay.
And what it is we were little children in Ireland, and you'd have about 10 little children in the neighborhood, you know, and we'd all come together and we'd play. And you would have one person, and they were called the tigger.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was the tigger would run around after all the little children and touch them. And the minute that the tigger would touch you, you had to stop. You were paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to stop. But one of the other little children, your little friends, could come and touch you, and then you'd be freed.
Yeah.
And the Lord showed me it's like a spiritual tig, together in God, together in Jesus, whereas the enemy of our souls can touch a brother or sister, but we have the power of our Lord Jesus Christ in his name, in his authority, in the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? We hear that the Father, God our Father, seeks worshipers in spirit and truth. Well, in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in truth, Jesus Christ, together in God, we can free our brothers and sisters. Jesus can touch these little precious children that the enemy has paralyzed and touch them in Jesus, with Jesus, and through Jesus. And together in God, we come to God the Father.
There's something that you had said about paralyzing. And I'm thinking about when the prodigal leaves on their, you know, to begin their journey. And I'm not sure if they think, well, I'm not going to be the prodigal son now, and I'm going to partake. Is this the state, like we said? And something, they leave with a paralyzed heart. Something happens where they feel the need most of the time to leave because of hurts or something generational that they're not even aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And so these things, you know, that mechanism that begins, that wandering, you know, looking for a homeland. And many times people don't even have to leave their home for that. They can leave it, their home, in their mind. You know, that's where mental illness comes from. But that'll be reserved for another show. But what I wanted to talk about before we go into the characteristics, because we have 47 minutes, and this is really building up to a huge revelation of what the Lord is really wanting to say to his people on how we have to embrace the prodigals, but how we are, you know, and what they need to come into, because many families are broken, many communities, church families have splits and church splits, and there's so many people living isolated lives, even in the body. So the Lord's also restructuring families and you know, putting together extended families that are formed communities of faith, and we will talk about that after I read from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah 29, verse 10 through, I want to say, 14.
Please.
All right. Jeremiah 29. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years, or whatever years or time period, epic, whatever epic, it, you know, he has for the fullness of the years of the captivity is over. All right, so let's go back. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, Babylon is also a state. It's also a place and a state of spirituality. I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place, the place of blessing, the place of prosperity, the place of wholeness. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Ah, wow. That's the entrance strategy of the Lord. Back to his heart. Back to his heart.
You know, Dr. Shirley, this scripture, when the Lord touched me about 17 years ago, I couldn't read. I couldn't really read. And this was the scripture that I stood on for the past 17 years. And as you were reading it, the thing that jumped out and went, bing, was, when you seek me, you shall find me. You shall find me with you. And I just thought of the father in the story of the prodigal son. He was already there all the time. He's always there. God, our Heavenly Father, God, your Heavenly Father, I'm speaking to someone right now. I'm speaking to you right now. God, your Heavenly Father, is calling you right now. And he wants you to know all is forgiven. And he wants you to know that he, your Heavenly Father, has removed the hinges of the door. That he himself has removed the door. The door of heaven. And he is pouring forth his generosity upon you right now, in Jesus' name, with Jesus, in Jesus, and through Jesus. It's time to come home. It is time to come back to your Heavenly Father, to the bosom of your Heavenly Father. I see a hand holding a pair of sandals. And in the other hand, I see a ring. I see a ring. Ora papa isela kurordia bakariana. Dr. Shirley.
Yes.
I feel in my spirit that if we can, if it's okay. If we just stop everything right now and just lift our voices to heaven and praise God for what he is about to do. Can we do that, Dr. Shirley?
We certainly can. Shigala Bariandra Soriana Mashita
Alapina Ira Pasti Karabasuntur Papa Iria Pamashikara Paya Yalasuntura Pakiria Matito Tira pa para pa sinkara pa shantididira. Eta masaki osa osaki ashamo hilamusuntura papa. Irika barabia pa santa da 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 da. Ira papa rapashin de de gara mashamba da pa pa pa. Ina, ina, ina kiriba hina yana. Yara pa ya pa pa pa. Isha pa 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 ra pa. Isha pa ra pa pa pa. Shikora masakara pa shanda. Isha pa ra pa ka ra pa ka ra pa ka pa ka pa. Ikira pa po ra pa pa. Yara pa pa ra pa shidi ya pa kora pa shama da 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 da. Yara pa 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 pa. Shiki tuku 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 tiki 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 tiki. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ikiria poson toro pa pa pa.
And so we have about 37 minutes. I just wanted to focus in on, zero in on the three different states that we need to look at in greater detail in the characteristics. And the issues that the prodigal has and the older brother or the other brother has. And somehow we're going to be talking about what this all means for community. The prodigal has to come back to a healthy community, I believe, in order to thrive. But the Lord has to work on the older brother, the other brother, so that the other brother can also be healed, so that their selfishness, it doesn't hinder the growth of the prodigal coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to grow deeply in the spirit and understand the ways of the Lord. So we're going to be looking at two key issues that, you know, each spiritual state has, and then we're going to look at the sonship. What's in the heart of the Lord? I don't want to say end result, because we're always going from glory to glory. But what is the goal here? You know, what do we need to be walking in, so that we can bring the kingdom of God to the earth in a greater way from within us? All right. So we're going to look at the what caused the prodigal son to leave, and what were the issues. And what is going on in the older brother at the same time? All right, okay, all right. Lord, just come on in there. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks.
All right. The what many theologians, you know, they've studied this, like what causes a person to fall away from the. But the backslide. Some say falling away, some say backsliding. But I believe if a Christian is baptized in the Lord, they don't totally fall away all the way. There's an element of the Father that's still in them, but it's more like there's things through prayer from a distance that can actually bring a person back. You know.
Yes.
So yeah. The drift. There's a phase called the drift, the movement away from the Father's love. Okay. Okay. All right. I'm going to go right to the beginning of this. Being used by others, a neediness. There's a neediness that the prodigal has. And some people, when they raise children, this child needs more than this other child, and it may be ADD, it may be something going on within their being that has to be discovered by the parents so that they can, nurture them. So where do we get our, where do parents get their wisdom for each child? They get it from the Lord. He's willing to ask, you know. So, you know, but if that doesn't happen, a prodigal situation takes place. And you can apply this to prayer groups. You can apply this to ministries, all right? And then the child or the prodigal person or the group, they're left, you know, feeling shamed, unclean, and defiled. This is sometimes a playtime when, you know, when a person in the area, in the case of mental illness, the suicide feelings, the separateness can cause them to commit suicide. So we really need to watch out for these prodigals in prodigal situations and what is really going on in the heart. And that does require discernment. It requires prayer. I believe that we're going to have a part two show to really talk about how a community, you know, how the Lord raises communities, living communities, to nurture wholeness, healing, and wholeness. And what is the ideal community situation going to be like in this day and age? You know, so you know, the feeling of shame. A feeling unclean and defiled causes an emptiness, all right? And then the guilt and condemnation come in. And the prodigal feels more like a servant slave or the prodigal state, you know, coming to that place of bondage. Of, you know, you feel more like a slave to yourself, to situations that you cannot control.
Yes.
It could be social situations. The circumstances that you're born into. And then there's, you know, you're feeling uncomfortable with the notion of love. You don't, your whole idea of what love is, you question it, and sometimes people say, the way that I'm being treated, there's no such thing as love. You know, they get into that love deficit crisis, you know, where, you know, their heart gets hardened, and they are eventually going to need a heart transplant. Spoken about in Ezekiel, you know, the new heart. They're a candidate for the new heart, you know. And as this uncomfortableness with love, with that, you know, imperfect as it is, because Jesus is perfect love, casting all fear, but when you don't have Jesus or you know, the community is sick in itself, it doesn't generate that loveness of the love of God. The, you know, individuals that are you know, are coming into this prodigal state, they get into that place of drifting and running away, you know, and they're moving away from, you know, experience any love on a certain level. Because, see, the Lord, the way that it happens, He deposits a degree of love. It's like He deposits a degree of faith in our spirit. But if it's not cultivated, it could be trampled upon and dried up. The river could be dried up. And so the person, you know, in the spirit, you know, moves more away from discovering the fullness of the Father's love, okay? And then they devalue, you know, the inheritance. They scoff at it, and they scoff at themselves, and there's a greater dishonor, a greater distance, a greater need for neediness. And then because of, you know, we are made to worship the Lord. The Lord, because of that home and device He puts in us, to want to worship somebody, someone, something. But really it's the Lord. That desire gets marred, and then they get directed. They get distracted and directed to counterfeit affections. And then there's that unnatural bonding, that impure bonding of people, places, things, and a false sense of intimacy, devoid of the Father's love. And then, you know, and then compulsions and addictions develop to the point where the person is in such a needy state that, you know, they may begin to wake up, you know, or, you know, either they wake up to life, to greater life when they come to the end of themselves, or they find themselves not here on this earth, you know. And that's the, you know, the crux of the matter. That's a real, that's such a really, really deep pit to be in. And so, you know, if they don't recognize the home and device and ignore it, then death can result. So it's really, really very important. Death before you, it's time. I mean, you know, and it's more to the sting out of death, but it's like you're not going to, the evil spirits that come around a person, and I'm not necessarily saying come into a person, but around, to talk them into ending the gift of life, where the Lord's original purpose will be stamped out. So then, you know, while this, you know, but the good thing about it is if you have a prayer community praying, and, you know, you make people aware of, you know, the spiritual states of others without gossip, and, you know, that body can come back, but through, you know, through prayers and not gossip, and not, you know, putting out the judgments there, not killing the person's life, you know, spiritual life with judgment. So now, and that's usually the issue of the older brother. Oh, they left because they are such and such and such, and, oh, yeah, I'm much better than them, and, you know, I'm going to get what they didn't receive, and, you know, and that's not a good place to be in either, okay? And here are the issues of the older brother. The older brother, all right, it all starts with competition and rivalry. You know, did any of you have sibling rivalry with your siblings? I did, you know. And in my case, birthrights were exchanged. My younger sister, for some reason, my mother thought that she should be the oldest sister. She treated her like the older sister, and my rights were temporarily put on hold in that area, so I became the younger sister. But thank God, I mean, I the Lord set me out to be a prodigal, where I was going to discover Him and all this. So, you know, I'm counting it all joy, but a lot of people don't get to that place. But as you mature in the things of the Holy Spirit, you will come to know the joy of what the Lord did for you when you were in your prodigal state. Okay, so you know, when competition and rivalry set in, you know, it's there. It can breathe the ground, you know, for envy and jealousy, you know, all those spiritual vices that really, you know, can quench the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. And then you're defending your territory, your defensiveness sets in, where you're defending your very, you know, in some cases, people depend on their ministry, their original intent to what God called to do. And, you know, we can't have those prodigals with these issues around us, because it would just mar our vision. And, you know, it would just stop the move of God. And we've really got to do something with these prodigals. We've got to put them in the background. You know, we got to stomp on them. We've got to shut the door. We've got to shut the door, throw up with the key. You know, and yet the father wants the key of prayer to initiate the process, and not our own, you know, mouth. And, you know, we really have to mourn when the father mourns for his children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's an angry edge that, you know, the people that are exhibiting an older brother issue have an angry edge, rough on the exterior. They're like, I even can hear the gravel coming out of their mouth, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. And every once in a while, that may happen to us, too. And that happens to me when I start thinking about my kids. And, oh, Lord, they're not right where I want them to be, right where you want them to be. But yet, the Lord's saying, I call them by name. I'm calling them. You do your part, and I'll do my part. My part's always through prayer, you know. And then the sin against love, you know, which is isolation. You put, you know, someone with a prodigal issue in isolation, in the isolation think tank, you know, and think them away, and cause further division between, not only between you and them, but between you, them, and God, you know.
Mm.
We can bring them so much closer to the Lord if we just stop thinking about, you know, what's causing them to be, you know, to embrace prodigalism. know, and just pray them back to the heart of the Father. That's the best thing you could do as a, the other brother, okay? So, you know, sin against love increases in the older brother, and then there's a drift, okay, a movement away from the Father's love. And as a prodigal is coming back and making connections, there's an insecurity that has always been there in the older brother and the other brother, but it gets even, it increases even more, you know. And I believe it's not dealt with, it increases when a person gets older, you know, if they haven't dealt with their heart as the other brother, you know, with the Father, you know. And the other brother should be praying for more love, you know, that they, you know, that less of them and more of Jesus would be there, so they can be, you know, Jesus for the ones that are coming back or coming into the kingdom for the first time. And then there's an aggressive striving because of the competition, because you want to do the best thing and the biggest thing to get the biggest and better attention. But it's all about the heart of what it's saying. How much do you love? How much can you love is the ultimate question that the Father would have for you. And then comparisons are made in self-judgment. And the whole cycle goes again, competition and rivalry. But we don't want the prodigals to come into that. We don't want them to go back into that. We want them to come to a loving place. And I really believe that we're living in a time where the Lord is dismantling structures that do not produce fruit. Structures of family, structures of ministries, structures of church as business as usual in the church. So, Reach, can you tell me in the listening audience, what has the Father said to you concerning that and community?
It amazes me the way God's ways are not our ways, Dr. Shirley. Do you know, it says that in Scripture, lean not in your own understanding, for my ways are above your ways. Mm-hmm. And in the brother, how Jesus heals the prodigal, the brother. He heals the whole kit and caboodle, so to speak. As the brother, I would like to go back to the brother that you were saying that this is all in him, in us. Let's talk mm-hmm. about us. It's all in us.
Yeah.
It's all in us. We're the other brother. And it's all in us, this resentment, this hurt, this anger, this betrayal, this, all of this. And isn't it amazing the way as the prodigal son comes home and the father deals with his issues and his, he also at the same time, through the Father's love, deals with the issues that we have with others coming back into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it amazes me that out of all of this, everything has to be brought out of the darkness into the light of the presence of God, of Jesus, to be healed. And that is how we're all set free.
Yes, yes.
So we have to go into those, not I, you know, I don't have the problem. She has the problem. He is the problem.
Right.
He's the one
brother
that left.
The
He's the
right.
one. She's the one. And how, do you know, as we're pointing at our brother or our sister, Dr. Shirley, how there's three fingers pointing back at us. When we're pointing someone else's faults and failings and everything, there's three fingers pointing back at us.
Yes.
And but how the healing love of the Father deals with all of this. And I believe the Lord is calling my husband and I and two little ones back to Massachusetts,
yes,
for his purposes. And the purpose that we're getting is that it's time, instead of talking about the church and talking, you know, about the wrongs, and there has been wrongs, there has been evils,
mm-hmm,
there has been, Dr. Shirley, but I want to focus on what the Lord's speaking to me and my husband, the Lord's speaking to my husband, and it's to go back to Boston, Massachusetts, or back to Massachusetts, to form a community of people to put our hand to the plow.
Yes.
And instead of this, that, and something else, holding, because remember, we have already said that the church is Jesus Christ. He's the head.
Yeah.
We're the body.
Yeah.
It's not a building. It's not a building, Dr.
Yeah.
Shirley. And how to come together, like the little story I shared with you about Ireland and Tig.
Mm-hmm.
About how we come together and walk in the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord.
Yes.
And I believe, as I was listening to you, Dr. Shirley, I was listening to the Lord saying, my people need to come and stand together and be one in me and come under alignment and be there for one another, get ready, set the stage for when the people come back, the prodigals come back. And even though we are broken ourselves, we're no better or no worse off. But what I'm saying is, when we come to Jesus and let Jesus, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, come and work in and through us and heal us, heal our hurts, our pains, our stuff, that the enemy will not be able to press our buttons anymore, because Jesus will have healed us from the inside out. Jesus is healing the church in the power of the Holy Spirit inside out. Inside out.
Yeah.
And what I believe we are called as a body, a community, is to surround the people who are the Lord has chosen and has summoned and has called and has equipped and all this to go forth in the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to heal and deliver.
Yes.
The body. So that when they come back, there's going to be a family, a community, a body to meet their needs.
Yes. Yes. And to help grow, them in the things of the Holy Spirit, to help, cultivate that intimate union between them and the Holy Spirit, them and Jesus through the Holy Spirit, back to the Father. But for us not to stay there, but to strengthen one another while there's still time, to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. Right now, families and countries in the state that we are in right now, it's if left to ourselves, there would be nobody to usher in the kingdom. So what the Lord is allowing to happen, He's allowing the governmental systems to fall and everything so He can build something up in His people. And it's definitely, you know, we've all coming out of a season in the body of Christ where, like you said, the older brother states within us and the prodigal state within us. Because everybody, you know, because you are alive, you do have that war between the flesh and the spirit. And that's what these issues are all about. These spiritual states, if you find yourself in the older brother state, you got to get out of that right away. Because God won't use you the way He wants to use you.
That's right.
For the Holy Spirit. But, you know, at the same time, we can't be careless and loose living as a prodigal, because we will be destroyed as the world is getting judged. And it's just so important. We live in such urgent times, the urgency of times. And we really need to get our house in order, but we can't do it on our, you know, in ourselves. We have to do it with the Holy Spirit and in community. But it seems the Lord is building us up so we can create these communities of faith, not just communities that you go to 9 to 5, but this is a 24/7 community based on prayer, you know, coming out of, you know, established at some form or another, 24/7 prayer, places of prayer. Because prayer is going to cultivate us. It's going to bring us to that place where we can be effective tabernacles of David, open 24 hours to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and everything will flow from that. We are approaching the end of this particular segment, but Reach, there are so many other things that we need to touch upon. I was thinking we could do a part two for an hour if you have time. I have to close this show and start up another one, or you know, we could talk about that maybe after the show here. And I just really, I'm just getting the sense that God is, He's building something here. He's first of all, you know, He's given us revelation so we can recognize what's going on in the Holy Ghost. And He's given us a strategy and a remedy to get to that place where He really wants the body to go, you know, to be in, the body of Christ, you know. So I believe we need to close the show. So if we can close with a prayer, and I'll offer communion up in the next show, because we really need that part two in order for part one to make sense. So, Bree, do you want to end in prayer?
I would just like to, if I can, one quick thing, thought that's coming to me right now, and that is in Amos 3:7, the Lord says, I do nothing without revealing it to my friends, the prophets.
Yeah.
Now, that's not saying God can't, He has to get our permission. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But we need to come into alignment. We need to come into alignment under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, for these things to happen. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, thy Son, Ora Sikidabiahana, Father, I lift up myself and Dr. Shirley and all your beautiful children. That hears our voices. Hears your voice, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, I just ask you to pour out your spirit upon them right now. Pour out your spirit upon them right now. Pour out your generosity right now in Jesus' name upon them. And draw them. Draw them, Lord. Draw them to yourself. Help us, Lord, to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that you're doing a new thing, a new thing, a new thing in our midst this day, this moment. And for us not to look to the former things, for you are doing something new right now, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, that you call us to be participators, not only spectators. We want to be in the new thing that you're doing, Lord.
Yes.
The new thing that you're doing. The new thing that you're doing. I ask you, I thank you, and I praise you that indeed you have opened the heavens and you shower a blessing upon us, especially upon those that you have called and chosen this hour to
yes.
hear your voice and to come to you right now. I pray for each and every person, each and every person, each and every person that you have called by name and have chosen, that they will come right now, right in, right now, in the knowledge of the depth, the height, the width of your love for each and every one of them. In Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we are at the end of this show, and we will go into another hour broadcast in within a 30-minute time period, and we're going to talk more about the spirituality, the different states of the older brother. We talked about the cycle, we talked about the issues, but we want to talk about where the Lord is going to wants to bring these two spirits, you know, these two spiritual conditions in the church, in the body of Christ, and because he really wants to pour his spirit in a greater way to bring the kingdom of the Lord to the earth. As you know, the days are drawing, you know, getting darker and darker and darker in the world, and the cry of the Lord is, like we said, like we wrote, read in Jeremiah, move out of Babylon. The time of the Babylonian, you know, it's like there's an exile out of Babylon into the promised land that's happening right now, and in humanity, you know, and redeemed humanity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, Bree, it was awesome talking to you, and we'll pick this up again, and I'll give you a call. All right? God bless you.
God bless you.
Let your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
Let nation. It's a cry for the nation. Let your kingdom come, Lord.
Seek the Lord, and you will find Him. This is Seek, Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.